Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Oh my God, it's almost Halloween. And you know what that means, Johnny?
Boston.
That's right, baby. Martinis and Murder is coming to Boston on Halloween. We are going to be doing a live show at the Wilbur, and it is going to be pretty incredible because I have convinced John, I paid him some money, to show off some really embarrassing photos of himself that have never been seen before that will pretty much shake you to your core.
They will, and it has to do with a previous Halloween costume that I've talked about on the show.
And outside of his scariness that he shows on his costumes, we're going to be talking scary stories, yes, unsolved mysteries. We need your guys' help. We want your opinion. Come have a martini with us at the Wilbur on Halloween. Boston, get ready for us.
Yeah, grab a friend, grab your boyfriend, grab your girlfriend.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Hide your wife and come to the Wilbur. We are so excited. There's only a handful of meet and greet tickets left.
And where can they get their tickets, John?
You can get tickets at oxygen.tv/mmboston, and you'll go right to a Ticketmaster link and you can buy your tickets there.
Tickets are selling, and you know, if you scroll over to my Instagram, the ticket link is also in my bio, so there you go. Easier.
Yeah, we hope to see you guys there.
Bye.
Another shot,
another day.
That's just so beautiful. I think that's the show.
I think that's it. I feel very comfortable about all this.
Let's get right into what we're excited about. Boston is coming up.
In a week, people. It's coming up in a week, which means Halloween's coming up in a week, which means you need to get your shit together.
If you're listening to this and you live in Boston and you're not planning to come, you need to basically let us know, because that's unacceptable.
That is unacceptable, and it's rude.
And it's completely rude. But yeah, Boston at the Wilbur Theater. You can get your tickets at oxygen.tv/mmboston. And we want to give a very special shout out to our friends at True Crime Obsessed, who mentioned our show on their show and encouraged people to come see us. So thank you, Patrick and Jillian.
We are dating them.
We are definitely dating you, whether you like it or not.
Correct.
And Darren, you're sitting back because the sun's hitting you, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes. And I talk very loudly in the mic, so I'm trying to learn to not.
You're being more professional.
I am being more. You could maybe turn it down a touch.
Yeah. Let me do that. Screen. Vamp a little while I'm doing this.
Should we do shout outs also for some? Oh yeah. Thank you, John. Look, I put him to work. People, keep going.
Do you like all the noise I'm making?
Yeah. No.
Folks?
This is just woo. The wind is turning. But yeah, I'm really excited for Boston. Honestly, we've gotten a number of messages from you guys.
Oh yeah.
Some really interesting ones with some fun messages. So that's been really important. And
we'll get to those on Sunday's episode, you think?
Yeah, I think we should do a full, put them in the full episode, because I feel like that's really fun. But we just wanted to shout out all the people that have reached out to us. We're going to read them on Sunday's episode, but thank you guys so much for getting your tickets. We're really excited to see you, and we can't wait.
And, you know, as Halloween approaches, more people are going to be buying those tickets. I think there's only a handful of the meet and greet tickets left, so you guys got to get them. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I want to see your costumes.
Speaking of Halloween, are we dressing up for that show? We need to talk about that.
We do.
Megan says yes.
Is this a week out? So
that's true.
We should decide.
We need to figure out what we're doing.
Pretty quickly what we want to do.
I know Lance from Crawl Space and Missing Mara Murray, our friend Lance and Tim, he plans to show up in a reindeer costume potentially. So, and he's not the first person to say that. So I don't know. We might have multiple Matts there.
As long as there's someone better than Matt, I'll take any fucking reindeer on the stage.
Join us up on stage. Make us a drink. We'll gladly hire you.
We have no problem.
Yeah,
doing that
absolutely.
At all.
Do you love Halloween season? Because I always embrace it.
Yeah.
And this year, for some reason, I just had been late to the game. But once I started decorating a little bit, I was like, oh, yeah, Halloween is here.
I do appreciate everyone decorating for it because I'm just not great at that. I honestly, Halloween is like my favorite holiday as a kid.
Yeah.
I've talked about this before. My mom is so crafty and has made all my costumes. And so it was actually the reason, I want to say one of the reasons, maybe the major impetus of me getting into the Page program.
Oh.
Because my final interview had to deal with Halloween costumes how it's shaped my personality over the years.
Yeah.
So I brought in a few homemade costumes and stuff and related it back to my personality. And so that like really saved me. But just, you know, a lot of the pictures in my parents' house are from Halloween, and I loved all the kids coming to the, it's just like, I lived in a good neighborhood for it. And I really appreciate, there was always this house that like, they must have spent $10,000 every year on the decorations.
God.
And it was almost like a thing. Like people would come out of town to come to this house to get the candy. Like you'd be walking
like a
up,
landmark or something.
Exactly. You'd be coming up to this house and, you know, their family, because they had a big family, would come out and like scare you.
Yeah.
And it was, and they were kind of around the corner from us and just a really good time. It also reminds me of such a good time of year. I love the fall. We've talked about that before.
Nothing is extreme yet, the weather wise.
Yeah. I mean, the days are getting shorter, but I don't mind that because there's also that idea of just like cozying in.
I know. I was thinking that myself.
I like that. You know, I definitely get sick of it maybe by like February or March, but the start of it, and I just love the holidays, and I think it's because work is winding down a little bit and you get to be around your family.
True.
And I'm from here, and so it's just, it feels nice. My brother comes home, feels good.
I hope you're enjoying work winding down for you, because it's winding all the way up for me. So just throwing that out there.
Well, I mean, it depends, because you know I'm like constantly busy.
I know, you definitely are. But,
but it's good. It's good to be busy. I was talking to my dad about it the other day, and I was like, Dad, when did you get like tired?
That's sad. We're both like in our 30s.
I know.
And
he was like, Darren, you're 31. And I was like, I know. I'm asking for a friend.
But you also really fill out every minute of your day.
It's supposed to be like that, though. You know what I mean? And that's what he said. He was like, better to do it when you're 31 than when you're 51 and you have no energy. I mean, sort of when I was in Crete and we were going through all these like crazy beaches and hikes, you know, and one of my friends, you know, she was like, I don't know. I was like, listen, when's the next time we're going to be in Crete again, if ever?
Yeah, right.
It's not going to be for at least another 10 years, you know, because you did it. We're going to go to other
places.
And
right.
Like, by the way, in 10 years, we're all going to be in our 40s. Yeah. I'm not saying that that's old. I'm just saying you don't have the same energy as you do now.
Different priorities in general.
You're never going to be any younger than you are this very second. So you just have to get everything in as quickly as possible.
I love that you said that, because someone tweeted me something kind of morbid the other day, one of the listeners, and they were like, and they were
like,
what?
Did you? I thought you were going to be like, I'm going to kill you.
No. They were like, right now in your moment, you're the oldest you've ever been and the youngest you'll ever be. And I was like, ooh,
that's actually great.
It's an interesting way to look at life. It's like, you're not going to get any younger, but you're not, you know, but you are going to get older. So just enjoy the moment for what it is.
I mean, that's so true.
You know, I've been talking a lot about mental health and like making sure everyone keeps their mental health checked, basically, because, you know, everyone needs to, frankly. It's just like if you get sick or you get a cold, you take something to treat it. You know, anxiety and the day-to-day life is hard for a lot of people out there. And I've just realized that a therapist has been so helpful for me. And, you know, things like that, just kind of keeping focus on like staying in the present, appreciating your present, not having anxiety about what could happen, because who knows what could ever happen.
Can we actually, I mean, I don't want to, obviously therapy is such a personal thing and I don't need to ask like what you talk about, but I do think it's kind of important to say about it if you don't mind. I think it's a really good sort of thoroughfare from last week when we talked about our coming out stories, and we got so many great responses. You know, so many of you reached out to us. Sir, I mean, I can't say for you, but so many people reached out to me and just said that I said it with a straight sort of face at everything that happened to me, and it was very important, and I really, really appreciate all the messages. But with that, you know, we kind of forgot to mention that both you and I have been in therapy for many years.
Yeah, you
I've
have.
Seen multiple therapists over my life. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a therapist, so I really understand the importance.
Oh, you would be a good therapist.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
It was really why I was a neuroscience major, because I wanted to go to med school if entertainment didn't work out, to become a therapist mm-hmm. and be a psychiatrist. But now I'm just a therapist to my friends.
And
I do it on the side.
You know what's funny? I feel like you and I both get this a lot, that we would be good therapists. I think because we're good at what we're doing right now, which is talking and listening to each other, you know?
Well, listening is really important. And I will say that one of the things that I've really learned in therapy is like my biggest thing, especially when talking, is like, as soon as you say something, I'm thinking about what I want to say. And then I'm mm-hmm. just remembering it. And I forget that I'm not listening to you because I care so much about what I want to say.
Yeah.
And conversations, you know, sort of therapy has helped me not only be a better girlfriend and a better daughter mm-hmm. and a better friend, but also probably a better podcaster and a better person to relate to people to. And I think that's something that people often forget, but there is no shame in going to therapy. I've been open about it from the start. I've been open about it with you from the start.
Definitely, yeah.
And I think it's just, if you can afford it, and whether it's time or money or whatever, and there's plenty of people who are covered underneath insurance, mm-hmm. I definitely think it's just so important to talk to an unbiased party about whatever's going on with you.
Yeah, and especially, you know, you were just talking about the shame part of it.
Right.
And I had
the
feeling,
stigma around it.
Yeah, the stigma that you have to be a broken person or you
exactly.
have to be going through extreme trauma. Those are not even remotely true. You could go to therapy because you dropped your hat. If that's affecting you, then you need to go see somebody and work on it, because
we all have our baggage.
Yeah,
you know?
We all absolutely do. And I will just say this, you know, the handful of little things like my therapist has told me that I've shared on my social media, the amount of like direct messages and people that message me saying, oh my God, you have no idea how much I needed to hear that, has been overwhelming. And I feel bad because I'm open and honest about my life as much as I can. You know, I don't share every single aspect of my life here on the show, but with my friends, I certainly do. You know, it's just been really interesting to be the person that I think people come to for advice for this stuff. And I'm more than happy to do it. I don't feel like, you know, mental health is something anyone should be ashamed of, especially for men, because for some reason,
it's a
good point, actually. Yeah, and for some reason, I've noticed like a lot of my male friends, particularly the heterosexual men in relationships that are struggling,
they have to be tough.
They have to be tough for their girlfriends and their wives, and it's like, no, you just need to take care of your mental health.
You're still
health.
A human being with emotions and feelings, just like the rest of us.
Yeah, and just go see what the perspective is. I mean, what do you have to lose? You have nothing to lose and only everything to gain.
Yeah.
And no one is judging you. And even if they are, who gives a fuck what anyone else thinks when you're the one that's with yourself 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
Well, yeah, and I usually think it's just a projection of other people.
It is.
You know, it's funny because I consider myself a pretty happy person, and I have a really good job and really good friends, and I have mm-hmm. great relationships and blah, 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 blah. Humble brag. But the thing is, when you say that and then you're like, yeah, but I see a therapist and I see a career counselor who's sort of like a career therapist.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And sometimes when I tell people that, they're like, well, why are you in therapy? Or like, well, why are you in
a
career counselor?
I get this a lot, yeah.
And, you know, part of me is like, okay, that's sort of a compliment because mm-hmm. I seem like I have my shit together and I know what I want.
Which you do, by
the
way.
Yeah, no, and going to therapy or going to see a career counselor has nothing to do with whether or not you have your shit together. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you just need to fucking pay someone to have you vent.
Yeah.
And then, you know, come out of it a little bit. But, like, to think that all the problems in my life are everyone else's and not mine, and I'm just sitting here, sitting pretty, and everything happens to me, and woe is me, is just incorrect. And the way you become a better person is by being introspective about yourself. And it's funny because I had this conversation with my dad where he was like, oh, you see a career counselor? Like, well, why or what does it do? And, you know, I said to him, I was like, listen, there are times where I'm so busy and I feel like it's exactly what I need to be doing. And then there's down times where I'm like, should I go out to Colorado and start an animal farm where I can hang out with animals and just like get rid of entertainment and be amongst my peeps?
Yeah, yeah. Your goats?
Be my goats. Not that I ever want to give up entertainment, but it's also sometimes it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And I said, if anything, it sort of has helped me discover who I am as a person and what I think a good career for me is, and also validates what I'm doing right now, which I also need.
And that's exactly what I feel like people should be getting out of therapy is it helping you understand yourself better?
Yeah.
Because that's what you hope it will do, regardless of what your issue is.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the anxiety and trauma and issues that people deal with, it's that they don't know why or how or how to sort of proceed with it.
Yeah.
And it really is just about, like, you know, processing emotions, whether they be personal, professional, whatever they may be. And I'm a huge advocate for it for men, because I had those same thoughts when I was younger. I was like, oh, I don't need therapy. What do you mean? Everything's good over here. And then I would go home and, like, have a problem to deal with in my head. I'm just very heady. Like, I think about things all day long. I'm talking to myself at home.
Introspective.
Like, yeah, I'm pretty introspective. So sometimes that can lead down a path of anxiety just by the very nature of it. But if you're a guy listening, which there are only like three of you, because all of you guys, everyone listening to the show is female. Yeah. And you want to talk about it, hit me up on social media. I'm happy to share my story. And
me as well.
I've been open about it. A couple weeks ago was World Mental Health Day. And I made a post about how I've been going to therapy, and it really connected with so many people. I had a couple of women reach out and say, oh my God, like, people I hadn't talked to in almost 20 years that are like, oh my God, I'm with someone right now. He won't go see a therapist, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, the point is, do yourself some good, treat yourself, and take care of your mental health as well as your physical health.
And before I move on, just a last minute point with that, like what you said, you know, like, oh, we won't go to therapy. I will say that, like, while I believe that therapy is for everyone, I don't think you should be forced into it. And you're only going to get out of it what you really put into it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not like you could just sit there and someone's going to tell you exactly. And you're going to have the aha moment. You
that
know,
was,
it takes years. No, I'm saying.
I'm like, getting excited because that's exactly what I was feeling.
It takes years and it takes time and it takes a process within yourself. Yes. But you have to really want to do it.
And you have to be patient, like you were just saying.
Yes.
Because I had that exact same thing. I went in with an issue and I was like, I better walk out of here feeling better.
Right, yeah.
And then my therapist eventually was like, okay, just so you know, this is a process.
Yeah.
You know, so your expectations have to be a little bit checked, because you do need to recognize that you're not, your issues and your complexities didn't happen in one day, and fixing them won't happen in one day either. But if you give yourself the chance, all you can, you know, you have the best possible odds of overcoming those things.
Yeah, you're most likely not going to regress back into a bad position. If anything, you would stay the same or move forward. But if you guys ever want to talk about it, please DM me. I've been in individual therapy. I've been in couples therapy. I've been in career counseling. So,
and I've come to you a couple times just about, like, how you handle therapy and what I should be getting out of it. And you've been very helpful. So thank you.
I'm perfectly normal.
Nothing to see here, folks.
Yeah,
keep it
exactly.
Going.
Law & Order SVU is now TV's longest-running primetime drama. And this season, we're going even deeper with the Law & Order SVU podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get to...
We have some questions.
Let's get to some questions before we finish out another shot.
Savannah Marie in our Facebook group says, which discontinued 90s food do you miss the most? Hashtag RIP tan M&Ms.
Tan M&Ms.
Very good
what
question.
What were the tan M&Ms?
I feel like at one point they were...
Megan, can you look that up, tan M&Ms?
No, she won't.
She doesn't? She's not on Wi-Fi.
I know what it is. That's right, she's not on Wi-Fi.
Otherwise you would have, right? I didn't ask you something that would seem
ridiculous. No, you know what it was? Is the M&M's packaging used to have tan M&M's in them, and then they replaced them with kind of more colorful M&M's.
Oh.
In the, like, the 90s.
I thought it was up. I got it. I'm there now.
The only, like, like marketing campaign that I truly remember was, like, the whole colored M&M's ordeal when we were children.
Oh my God. I think that was the only time I ever called
like
in
voted.
To vote.
Yes.
And for, like, I think I voted for the blue.
The blue,
at which
of course.
One.
And they kept it.
It was like a rouge,
yeah,
I want to say, a blue, and then like another reddish pink color.
You're right.
But I obviously voted for the blue.
Yeah. I remember that too. I mean,
I remember that distinctly.
By the way, I lived in the middle of nowhere. I can't even remember if we had a working phone in our house. That's just kind of where we were at that point. And I remember, like, going and making sure I made a phone call.
There's a post that says, like, once upon a time there were tan M&Ms, but they have long been forgotten. And you know what? I am guilty of it. Thank you, Megan.
So the 90s food we miss the most, I don't really know. I mean, the one food that I don't eat as much that I wish I did are Gushers.
Oh, because I was going to say, like, I'm sure they're still around.
Yeah, they're probably still around.
But I do miss drinking those, like, squirt You know, with the plastic bottle, you rip off the top and you just squirt it into your mouth. I miss those things.
Those probably, they're probably around.
That's the thing. It's like, I like legitimately, either they're harder to find and or like I'm 31, I can't be seen doing
this. So Savannah, we didn't answer your question, but we answered your question.
No, we did. Yeah.
Matt O'Jenna says, how many bodies could you fit in the trunk of your first car?
Okay.
What was your first car?
I'm going to say, like, my first car was a Volvo S60, okay. A red Volvo S60, a Venetian red, I remember.
Okay.
Mine was red, too. In the trunk, well, it depends. Are we fitting Shaq-like bodies? Or are we fitting...
Right. Let's go average human,
okay.
I guess.
I could probably, I mean, we pile them on top of each other. It's a pretty big trunk. I would say 6.
Oh, okay.
Maybe more if we scrunch them together into a ball. Am I fired?
A ball?
HR,
yeah, you might
what?
Be fired.
HR.
You might be fired.
Oh, you need to meet in your office.
Yeah. How many people would fit into the back of my truck?
Oh, you had a truck.
I did have a truck.
You are so rugged, masculine right now, right?
Because I drove the only like truck my family had to give to me.
What kind of truck? Like an F-150?
It was a really old, really old. I mean, maybe early 80s, maybe even late 70s. Red.
We both had red cars.
Chevy. Yeah, I know. I thought that too. Chevy pickup, but I'm forgetting the exact name of it.
John.
Not a Silverado or anything. But
seeing a whole other side to you.
Listen, but it was really fun because it had like a racing steering wheel on it.
But it was open top, the truck.
Yeah, the back was.
So you could fit, in theory,
infinity people.
Okay, so.
I'm saying people, not bodies, because that's just how respectful I am.
If someone wanted to just wipe out a ton of people, they should call you.
Absolutely.
That you would handle, or you could help.
Yeah, I could help.
Very interesting question, Matt.
I did end up wrecking that truck because I was driving down like a two-lane highway.
Mm-hmm.
The car in front of me veers off to the right into a parking lot. And I go to continue driving because they have now veered off into a parking lot that was on the side of the road. And they came back out onto the road. And basically T-boned them. And I don't know what exactly happened, if I thought I was pressing on the brake and I was actually on the gas. But I ended up pushing this van with people in it, like across the median into, not the median, but the two solid yellow lines,
yeah,
into a parking lot across the street from where they were intending. And I was like, if there was like a tractor trailer coming, like this could have been
terrible.
Terrible. And thank God it didn't. But that was the end of that truck, which I had a lot of fun driving, but it literally wouldn't even go over like 60 miles.
Did they find
the
bodies when you got rid of them?
They did. They were both alive.
Okay, thankfully.
Yes,
okay,
it wasn't
good.
That bad of a thing.
Caitlin Smith asked on our Facebook group, what is the grossest thing you've ever found in a hotel room?
Well, you and I have traveled a lot with the show and with working in our various fields of professional endeavors. I don't know. I was just thinking about this. I mean, the grossest thing would probably be just like a hair somewhere. Like I've never stayed anywhere that would have something gross in it, to be frankly honest.
Yeah, I've never had like anything traumatic, like a used condom or anything, but I will say the, you know, when you're on the bed and you have like, you know, your sheets, whatever, mm-hmm, and you know, there might've been like a stain on something and I asked them to do it. And you know, you have your comforter or whatever, but then you have that extra blanket, mm-hmm, like on the bottom, mm-hmm, that's just like the runner. That's gotta be the grossest thing in the hotel
room. That's a good
point.
Because,
like, you know they never wash that. You know that.
I agree. In fact, I just remembered that at one time I was staying at a hotel with a boyfriend, one of my exes at this point, and I got bit by bed bugs on my back.
Okay, so that's definitely the grossest fucking thing.
That's the grossest thing in the hotel room. Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, very gross. Caitlin Bright says, I'm not a firm believer. Oh, this might be for you to read. Do you want me to read it?
Oh, you want me to read it?
Yeah, why don't you read it? I already did too.
Caitlin Bright says, I'm not a firm believer in regrets. I think they're just learning experiences. Do any of y'all, she says y'all, not me, do any of y'all have any regrets or something you wish you could change in your past? And I don't remember answering this one before unless we did. So we're going to pretend like it's a whole new question if we've never answered it. Do you have any regrets?
Regrets? Not necessarily. I mean, there are certainly things in my life at my age where I look back and I think, I could have done something a little bit differently here to have prepared myself for a different kind of life ahead of me. For example, I would have loved to have maybe double majored instead of just gotten one degree. Just things like that that like aren't necessarily life-changing things.
They're not keeping you up at night.
No, not at all. I mean, I am the type of person, and this comes out of the therapy talk we just had, that I don't live my life with any regrets because I really truly believe that every decision I make in my life leads me to some sort of happiness. Yeah. And that is a culmination of just knowing the data we have in our head about our own lives and personalities and expectations in life and goals in life. And this includes the negative stuff, you know, like breakups happen and it in those moments hurts so bad. And you think that, how did my life end up here? But you'll come out of it okay. And you'll realize that you're a stronger person because of it. And it's okay that you went through that. It's not a regret. You know, yeah. Of course, there are exceptions to this. If you're in an abusive relationship things like that, where your regret may be that you didn't get out soon enough.
Yeah.
But for me personally, no. I mean, I don't live like that.
I agree with you. Like, I wouldn't ever, nothing ever keeps me up at night too much.
Yeah.
I definitely think regrets are learning experiences, and I am aware that people make mistakes, and I try not to make them twice. I definitely have regrets in some of the relationships I've been in. I've definitely not been the person that I know today, the upstanding citizen that I know today. You know, I was young, and you know,
it was a journey for you, though, right?
It was a journey. You learn a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I've definitely lied in relationships before. I've definitely cheated in relationships before, and I regret all of that, but I also think that it led me to such a wonderful relationship now that maybe it might not I might not have known who I was, and God forbid I did it to her. And so I wouldn't say it's regret. You know, I do sometimes think about that hate crime sort of experience with my ex-girlfriend, Ashley, that we were talking about last week. And
yeah,
not necessarily a regret, but I sort of wish that I had said more in the moment.
Yeah.
Knowing that was going to be a sort of our last time speaking, even if her mom was there, I do sort of wish I said other things than what I said. And it, you know, I perfectly know well why I did what I did, because I thought she was in danger, and it's not my position to put her into more danger.
Totally.
And B, I didn't think that was going to be the last time we spoke.
Oh, right. You know, who knows?
I didn't think that this was, I thought maybe she'd come back and whatever. Yeah. So,
I mean, you can't think of that as a regret, though, because you didn't have control of that.
No, but if I think about something that I wish I had done differently, I do think,
like, if you could go back in time,
I would handle it differently. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I definitely think I handled myself with class, and I think I handled myself with integrity.
Yeah.
And dignity, and I could walk away feeling good about myself. I didn't say anything bad, but I do wish I had said some different things if I had known it was our last time.
Listen, totally. But yeah. I think you've become an amazing person.
Thanks, baby.
Through all of that.
You know where you can see amazing people?
Where's that?
At Boston, at the Wilbur next week. I know we keep plugging it, but we just want to meet all of you. We're not sure we're going to be in Boston next. So it's kind of a first time for us. So we're really excited.
See us.
We want to see you all there. Thanks for, you know, pressing through these really trying questions we've had today.
And thank you guys for the great questions. You guys are so thoughtful. I love that you guys can think like this. It's
yes.
so nice.
And keep those shout outs coming. Keep DMing us. We have a master list that we're going to be shouting out on Sunday's episode. Yep. And listen, even if, because you know that this Sunday is our last sort of Sunday before the
That's
show.
Right, yeah.
Keep sending it to us, because we have absolutely no problem shouting you out after the
true.
Show.
Yeah, yeah.
We would love to do it. We would love to see you guys. So let us know and DM us at Carpe Darren, at Jay Thrasher, at Matt_the_ Bartender.
See you in Boston.
Bye.
Bye.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.